Hello and welcome to The Silver King's War. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of this podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Today we continue in the epilogue for Dearest Ones, the letters that our hero, the Silver King, wrote to his family throughout his Second World War. Stanley's day-to-day for December of 1944 is picking up speed, and over the course of the last 11 days in the month, he wrote 8 letters to the States. Much of the language in those letters lamented the lack of steady and substantial mail service to A-72. He wrote to his family on December 17, 1944, "Dearest ones, I sincerely hope this finds you well and not too lonesome. I haven't heard from you in almost a week. The mail doesn't seem to be getting any better. I've got a hunch that all the letters, including airmail, are coming over by boat because of the bad weather. I'm fine, taking things easy. It's been raining all day. The mud is getting higher and higher. The only consolation is that it isn't cold, and I can sleep until noon every day without any trouble at all. But lately, however, I've been getting up for breakfast and then going back to bed. I can't really afford to miss any meals." Stanley's steady correspondence has a number of themes, one of which is always food. He always seems to be hungry. And in describing good meals, he's also saying, well, between those meals, I'm getting hungry. And of course, he's waiting diligently for the packages from home, and he's requested a number of items. It seems the king, from his writing, is describing a situation where his buds in his room that he shares with other officers are getting plenty of packages, and they're very good about sharing. And of course, he would like to carry his weight in that job. Stanley is happy to report that he saw a swell movie that afternoon. He described it as Lana Turner in the movie Marriage is a Private Affair, saying it wasn't anything exceptional or unusual, but the acting was good, and Lana was beautiful to look at. Everyone came out lovesick. He closes with, "I hope you'll go to some parties during the holidays so you won't be too lonesome. And next year we'll celebrate together and have a big party. Please keep writing and I'll do the same. Take care of yourselves and keep well. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan." Stanley's holiday letters throughout his war remind me, as his son and as the reader and narrator of his story, about how young he was. Of course, he is 21, but he's a long way from home. He's fighting a war to help save the nation and the world for democracies as political entities, and at the same time, feeling low because the mail is caught somewhere. But he's also willing to acknowledge that he hopes the delays are a result of making sure that the nation's frontline soldiers are first in the letter queue. Stanley writes on December 19th, 1944, "Dearest ones, well, Xmas is almost here. Time is surely flying by. This will be my second one away from home, and I don't have to tell you how I hate that. Everything points to an awfully dull day, unless our liquor ration comes in. In that case, we'll all be sky high, no doubt. We still have a few bottles of champagne left, which will taste awfully good." The king acknowledges to his family, of course, that some of his day-to-day writing might be dull. And in this letter, he says, "Now I've written a letter and haven't said much of anything, simply because there isn't much to say. I know you expect my letters to be long and interesting with all the details of this damn war, and I'm sorry to disappoint you. Looking at the same faces, the same four walls, and doing the same things every day doesn't offer very much in the way of writing. All the news will have to come from you. So please keep writing. I'll write as often as possible. Please take care of yourselves and keep well. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan." Stanley, as you know, as faithful followers of the Silver King, is an excellent warrior writer. And of course, he would like to say more about his work, but he can't for obvious security reasons. And so finding things to write about to keep it interesting, to hold his interest as the writer and to capture his family's attention is important. And his perspective is that all mail is good mail. He doesn't like waiting for it, but he doesn't really have much choice. The king writes to his family on December 21st, 1944. "Dearest ones, I hope this finds you well and not too lonesome. There still hasn't been any mail from you in so long. I'm at a loss as to the news at home. I did receive a package last night, a very nice one from Temple Emmanuel. It contained about almost everything you could imagine, from a toothbrush down to a package of cigarettes. I already had most of the toilet necessities, but the cigarettes and candy were more than welcome. It certainly is a fine and gracious gesture of the temple. I'm sure the boys at the front lines and outposts will appreciate it a great deal." And Stanley, as he usually does, has buried the lead story for this letter when he continues with, "You have probably read in the papers and heard on the radio of the miserable weather we're having here. The Germans surely never miss a trick. They must have known weeks in advance of its coming. Don't worry, though. They will collapse before long. This war will be over long before anyone thinks. The optimism of all is very high." This brief paragraph about the weather and the war is the king's acknowledgement that the brutal battle of the Bulge is underway. And he writes to reassure his parents that the good guys will prevail and that the war will be over soon. In the interim, he's going to the movies and playing bridge as the weather remains bad. And of course, he's anticipating the holidays and hopes that his folks will be able to have fun and enjoy the days. And he closes, "The mail has to be better tomorrow. It couldn't be any worse. I'll write again soon. Keep well and keep writing. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan." As the Silver King prepares for his second holiday season away from home during his war, he's got some good news. As he writes to his family on December 23rd, 1944, "Dearest ones, undoubtedly Santa Claus came to see me tonight. I received two swell packages. One contained the Merry Ball candy which Aunt Lena sent me, and the other had soap, razor blades, and two grand cartons of cigarettes. The candy is delicious. I shall write Aunt Lena tomorrow to thank her. After the package from you, I shall not need soap or razor blades for a long time. I'm well stocked with both now. As for the cigarettes, need I say how much they are appreciated? We're getting 5 packs a week now, but the 2 cartons will be a lot of relief for the situation. I realize the cigarette shortage there is pretty bad also, and I'm sure you must have looked all over for them. You're awfully sweet to have gone to so much trouble. I sincerely appreciate it from the very bottom of my heart, and I only hope Dad has been able to get enough for himself. The Silver King was a long-time Lucky Strike man. LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And he began smoking, really, as a kid, and continued throughout most of his life until he died in 1990 at 67. But today, right now, he's happy and he will share his good fortune with his buddies. He's also concerned because he hasn't heard from his sister Leona about what's new with Margie, the baby. Hoping everyone is well, he describes what's ahead as he says, "Looks as though our Xmas will be a drunk one. Tonight we received liquor rations and already have made plans as to how we will drink on Xmas Day. At least we'll all be feeling good anyhow. There isn't much news. I'm fine and thinking of you constantly. Please take care of yourselves and keep well. Continue to write. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan." The Silver King's holiday strategy over these years has included using some booze to battle those blues as they come upon him. He likes to party with his guys, and they share in good times of stories, cigarettes, food from home, and some decent holiday fare in the mess hall. Stanley writes a Christmas Eve letter on December 24th, 1944. "Dearest ones, 'tis the night before Xmas, and it's awfully quiet and lonesome. It really doesn't seem like Xmas Eve. If someone didn't mention it every now and then, I wouldn't know the difference. I hate for this to sound as though I'm complaining, but my heart aches to think of how wonderful it would be to be with you and the kids. This is my second Xmas away from home, and the last, believe me." The holiday mail continues to be an issue, and he writes that he had hoped there would be some mail for him tonight, but only packages came in, and he wasn't one of the fortunate sons to receive one. Maybe tomorrow he'll be getting letters instead of packages, and that's how he's consoling himself. He describes a bitter cold day, much too cold, and he doesn't think there'll be a white Christmas. He and his guys do have a plan to get sky high. And he describes a turkey dinner for tomorrow on Christmas Day, which they will serve from 2 p.m. until it's all gone. It won't be a bad day considering all, but nothing like home. And he concludes, "I'm fine, as ever, and thinking of you constantly, praying that you're well and taking care of yourselves. Please keep writing often, and I'll do the same. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan." My sense of the Silver King during this holiday crush is that he's anxious for December to end. He knows it should be a joyful time, but he's struggling with being far away and missing his family and missing the job he will have ahead when he returns to the States to be an uncle for Richie and Margie Bernstein. However, his job right now is to help win the war, and he writes to his family on December 26, 1944. "Dearest ones, I hope you had a grand Christmas and it wasn't too lonely for you. I didn't get to spend the day as I had planned. I had to work and so wasn't able to get drunk and didn't get any holiday dinner. It was a noisy day, and that's about all, I guess. It really doesn't matter, though, having just another day over here. It's next Christmas that I'm looking forward to. The weather is still bitter cold. Believe it or not, I'm wearing long drawers, and they certainly feel good. The ground, along with everything else, is frozen. Doing away with the mud is such a relief. Our hero finishes his post-holiday letter with an easy paragraph. I'm sorry my letters are so short and not very interesting, but without letters to answer, I'm at a loss for material. Please take good care of yourselves and keep well. I'm fine and thinking of you constantly. Maybe I'll get a letter from you soon. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan. The irony of this brief letter from the king is he did have a very busy Christmas day. He worked. He flew 2 missions. Imagine that. Our hero, Stanley Lester Silverfield, a U.S. Army Air Corps officer, bombardier in a B-26 Martin Marauder, flying lead in 2 missions over Nazi Germany, representing the South, Birmingham, Alabama, and the family and the members of Temple Emmanuel. Stanley's last letters from A-72 in December 1944 combine the interest he has in the news from home, of course, and the lack of mail with what's coming and what he anticipates in the new year, which will be some fairly simple but important things. As he writes on December 28th, 1944, "Dearest ones, I hate to keep opening my letters with the same complaint each time, but as hard as I try, I can't prevent it. There hasn't been any word from you in almost 3 weeks, and that's much too long, as it has me worried. Of course, you must be writing, because I know you wouldn't do me this way purposely, unless something is wrong there at home. I pray to God that the latter isn't true. I can well imagine how you must feel when I don't write." On his personal good news front, the king reports that the weather isn't quite as cold as it's been. Instead, it is cloudy and miserable, and I spent the morning in bed until noon, as per usual. This afternoon was well spent. I had a haircut and good shower. We've managed to secure a French barber, who isn't bad at all. As for the shower, that presents a big occasion. It helps waste the day, and that's always welcome here. Other than that, there isn't much to write. I'm fine and thinking of you constantly. I do hope you're well and taking care of yourselves. Please keep writing and keep well. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan. Stanley, our favorite scribe, is always at a bit of a loss for new writing material. He can't describe the war for real, but he can describe the day-to-day, and he's happy to report a haircut and a hot shower. Stanley's final letter of 1944, which was written on December 30th, shares some good news for him, both personally and in the world of housekeeping and important minutiae. As he writes, "Dearest ones, last night I received your letters of December 19 and 20. You can't imagine how very welcome they are. It's the first mail I've had in almost 3 weeks, and by far the fastest to get here. I can't imagine what could be holding up your previous letters unless it's the weather. Having to come by boat instead of plane surely takes a hell of a long time, and that's probably the reason you haven't heard from me in over a week. It certainly is a relief to know you're well, but I'm sorry you're lonesome. It's a shame it had to be that way, especially over the holidays." And the good news continues from the king when he describes receiving 2 packages tonight. A box of candy from you and an essential box from Temple Beth El, on the same order as the one from Emmanuel. The king shares that the recent barrage of boxes of candies and goodies has been helpful for his room's morale, and he's grateful for all of it. He also explains that he would have answered the letters that he received last night, but at the same time, the guys received more liquor rations, and everyone got really tight. It was a lucky thing that he had a quiet day, because there was a slight hangover. We surely can't complain about a shortage of whiskey here, as we receive ample amounts. And best of all, it's mostly scotch. Stanley goes on to say, "The news really looks good tonight. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to awake up any morning now and to find the war has ended. I'm confident we'll be able to have that big celebration long before either of us believed." Enclosed, you will find a picture of the bomb site, which I took out of a newspaper. My scrapbook will be a good place for it, if you would. I'm feeling fine and thinking of you constantly. Thanks so much for writing often. Please continue. Keep well and have a happy New Year's Eve. Love to Ida. I love you and miss you, Stan. As the Silver King concludes his December 1944 from A72 north of Paris, he's optimistic that the war will end soon. His optimism is important for his imagination and goodwill as he looks ahead to January of 1945. And as our hero, the Silver King, prepares for his new year, we have reached the end of this episode of the epilogue for Dearest Ones, the letters that our hero wrote to his family throughout the war. And this is part 25. And you are listening to The Silver King's War.